Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
So Dana Brown said early in his Astros tenure that he was going to sign all these players when they're young, like they did in Atlanta. Christian Javier, only one that he has signed to a long-term extension. I was curious because I saw this conversation going on, and I remember we discussed, like, should they re-sign Jeremy Pena? Should they re-sign Yiner Diaz? Should they re-sign Hunter Brown? I searched my Twitter tweets, I guess. I was saying in December of 2023 they should lock up Pena, Yiner, and Hunter Brown. That's one of my best takes ever, I think. That might be one of the greatest things I've ever said. Because if you do it then, Hunter Brown didn't have any breakout yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was offseason 2023. Like, he just showed glimpses. He showed promise. And then he actually started the 24 season atrociously. They were ready to send him back down to Sugar Land. Most
of the
Kansas
City
were.
Game or the Tiger game where he just
Kansas
blew
City.
Up?
Kansas City.
Yeah. Maybe
Kansas
both. City game, yeah. He was bad. He was bad.
Did he set a record in that game for most hits allowed in an inning?
I remember listening to it on the radio driving to East River 9. Because I have a recollection of listening to the radio, and Robert Ford was talking about Hunter Brown being shelled on the way to East River 9 for one of the remotes. The Yiner Diaz, look, Yiner Diaz hasn't been fantastic since December of 2023, so like maybe that one would be a wash. Maybe you would even feel great about that one right now. But how about Pena? Like, look at Pena's value from December of 2023 to where he's at now. Like, he's tripled, quadrupled his value even. So I do... Like, I understand it takes two to tango. Like, Dana Brown might have tried with Pena, might have tried with Hunter Brown. All the reports say that he hasn't. Chandler Rome reported that. You know, maybe he tried with Yiner. I don't know. I'm not privy to those discussions. The other guy has to sign off on it, too. But for a guy, and look, I mean, this is kind of Dana Brown's MO. Kyle Tucker will never play anywhere else. Whatever the other stuff that he said. All this stuff, you know, he doesn't always cash checks that his mouth delivers.
Braggy.
Like, yeah. So there's been a lot of, like, non-truce. I'm not going to call him a liar. I don't think he's a liar, but he likes to hear
himself talk too.
I disagree with that. I don't think he's a guy that likes to hear himself talk. I think he's just like super optimistic and sometimes doesn't know when to stop talking.
I think he likes to hear himself talk from the standpoint of when he talks, he basically thinks he's covering his rear end for the end result. So in the Bregman stuff, I think that he was constantly overselling the fact that they were going to be in it till the bitter end, that they, you know, they were trying to bring him back, or that they wanted to bring him back, that at a certain time I think he said he was going to be back or do everything he could to bring him back. I forget what the exact quotes were, but I always was a little cringy going, you know, I think that's too much. I understand that you can say, hey, we're doing everything we can. At a certain point, the stronger statement tells the fans that we're going to bring Alex Bregman back, or gives them false hope, and then when it doesn't happen, then he's going to take the blame for it.
Yeah, I mean, he says a lot of stuff that doesn't come to fruition. I don't think it's because he, like, likes the sound of his voice. He doesn't strike me as that kind of guy. He strikes me as kind of, like, modest, really, and that does it to, like, because he wants to give the fans kind of a little bit of a peek behind the curtain. I don't think he's like Casario. I don't think he's like Maury.
I think
Maury
was definitely that guy, for sure. I just think that because for me it's not as much like Daryl literally couldn't find a microphone quick enough. He just loved to talk. But I think that from a Dana perspective, it's more or less of trying to appease the fans more when some of the things that he says that I think can actually get him in trouble with when the end result isn't what the fans then start to expect.
Yeah. Texture not upset with Dana for the comments because one, it's blowing up in Atlanta's face. I mean, Ronald Acuña is pretty good. Like, Ronald Acuña is going to be an Atlanta Brave for a long time, and he's one of the best players in baseball.
Isn't Michael Harris pretty good at center?
He's hasn't been, like, lived up to the expectations, but he's a big league player. Spencer Strider, I know he had the he actually didn't have the Tommy John. He had the internal brace to his torn UCL. That dude's one of the better pitchers in baseball that is locked up for a long time. I don't think that it's blown up in Atlanta's face as much as you're letting on. So, yeah, I would push back on that texture. Another texture besides Cam, there haven't been a young player that deserves to be signed. Whatever. I disagree.
That's not true.
Jeremy Pena deserved to be signed. Hunter Brown, well, maybe not deserved. Deserved might be, you could argue deserved. Because
warranted a discussion, right?
I remember whenever I said to re-sign Jeremy Pena, people called me nuts. No, it's way too early. He's Tim Bogar. You shouldn't do it this early. He needs to prove it. And my argument was always, this is the time you do it. Because once he proves it, he becomes a $30 million a year player. That's why you have to trust your eyes on it. And if you would have, even if you did it in Pena in December of 23, if you lock him up there and he's just that guy for the rest of his career, let's say he doesn't have the improvement. He is who he was coming into this year. Okay. That's still a top 20 shortstop in baseball.
I think the price matters too, right? I mean, of course. If you're not paying top dollar at that point.
We have an understanding of like what the value would be-ish for what a player is like worth at
that point. But I'm saying like if you try to sign him early, but you don't have to sign him at max value, then by the time the contract gets into its middle to later stages, there's a chance too that just the going rate allows that deal to be more return on investment friendly. But I think that of the guys that you mentioned, of the guys of what the texter or whoever the listener said Cam's a guy that already probably you can't do because of the fact that his stats right now, they're going to probably look to...
I think you can do Cam now.
I think he's looking for more money because the expectation is going to be he's just going to get better and better.
I wanted to hold Cam Smith hostage and sign him he came up to the big leagues. Like, I am pro signing him as soon as I think that player is going to be a big league starter. If you think he is capable of being a big league starter for the next 10 years, give him a 10-year contract the moment you call him up. And you're going to miss sometimes. Like, people, look what happened with Singleton. Cool. That was $10 million for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Look what happened with Altuve. You tried to get Springer done. That would have been cool. Alex Bregman, you bought out two of his free agent years. That turned out pretty well. So, like, you can hit me with the, well, it didn't work out for Singleton. Cool. I missed one. I hit the others. That's the cost of poker. And I'd rather miss on Singleton for $10 million 10 years. That's not the current price. It would be more expensive. Than miss on Jose Abreu. Than miss on Rafael Montero. Than maybe miss on Christian Walker. I'd rather miss on the front end than the back end.
Yeah, I think the one in recent history, if it's not before Cam Smith, would be Yiner based on the split, you know, not the complete full season that Dusty was holding him back on when we were all sitting there looking at him going, this guy is an offensive weapon waiting to explode if he plays every day. And it hasn't worked out to this point, though he's gotten better. He looks like he's kind of getting comfortable and has better at bats and has got better swings. But right now, you look at that and say, if they had did that then, there'd be a whole lot of criticism coming the Astros' way.
I don't think so.
I think there would be because there's a lot of concern about if that was just, you know, until pitchers knew how to throw him to see the way he chases pitches and some of the ways he...
What are you signing him for at December of 2023, Yiner? Like, what is he demanding? What is his yearly salary?
See, I don't know what the rate would be, but I would think that even if you do, like, Yordan friendly, but he's a catcher, you don't know if he's going to play there his entire career, but I would think that you're probably looking at, what, 20 a year?
That's too high. I mean, Yordan's not even making 20 a year.
Well, then what was Yordan's deal?
I think his was like 16 and a half, and he's Yordan. Like, he was Yordan when Yordan signed. Like,
he was
Yordan
was
already
100?
Yordan was the rookie of the year, his rookie year. He didn't sign until, like, what, year three of his career? Like, he was already a dude. Yordan Alvarez was a bona fide dude whenever he signed. Yiner had a good rookie year. He didn't have a Yordan rookie year. I think Yiner...
the expectation was pretty high for Yiner.
Higher than Yordan?
No. I mean, based on what Yordan did from the minute he got up there, I don't think anything was higher than Yordan.
I think you could have gotten Yiner done at $12 to $15 million a year, which, despite his struggles, he is a big league starter. He's a big league starter with promise. If I told you you had Yiner at somewhere between $12 and $15 million a year for the next 7 years, would you be upset by that?
No, not at all.
Yeah. That's why you do it early. And are you going to miss on a few? Is Hunter Brown going to be just a mediocre starter every now and then when you do that? Yeah. Is Jeremy Pena only going to be, you know, a top 20 shortstop instead of a top 5 shortstop? Yeah, that's going to happen at times. Is Yiner Diaz, instead of being a top 5 catcher, going to be a top 25 catcher? Yes, you're going to miss a few times. But what is the cost of you missing? Oh, well, I'm slightly overpaying for a guy who is a big league starter.
I think it's more difficult with pitchers. I just think that, you know, when Forrest Whitley was the number one prospect in your system, and then you couldn't predict the future, if you had done it and called him up, that was one where you would have lost the farm.
Yeah, I don't think Forrest Whitley was ever close to those conversations, though.
In terms of being called up?
He was always potential. He was never banging on the door ready to come up.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of another guy that was close where it didn't work out. But, I mean, look, again, the price matters, and if you can get it from 12 to 15 on a Yiner, that makes more sense than if he and his agent come in and say, we're looking to get, you know, not maybe not top of the market, but we think he's just going to continue to get better, and we want a higher number. You go, maybe not. Yiner, I got to see more.
My bad. Yordan was 19, by the way. 19 AAV. He was 6 years, 115. So it was a little higher than I remembered. It's not 16 and a half. It was 19. Still in the ballpark.
Still worth it for the Astros.
I still believe you could have got Yiner at 12 to 15. I think you could have got Jeremy Pena at 12 to 15. I think you could have gotten Hunter Brown at 12 to 15. So even if you, like, let's say you're right on Yiner and people are upset that you locked up Yiner. Let's say you locked up all three at that time for 12 to 15, 12 to $17 million a year. And let's just be modest. You only bought out 2 years of their free agency. That's a victory in as a whole, in totality. So I do criticize Dana Brown there while also throwing in the caveat, we don't know the other side. We don't know if Brown has approached the agent. Chandler Rome, I saw in an article today, said that Hunter Brown would have been open to an extension back then, that his agents were never contacted by Dana Brown. So, yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, don't you also think that Crane plays a role in this too? Like, is he willing to do that?
Like,
would he be willing to? Because when, you know, he's a baseball guy. And when he looks at these guys playing, like, if he saw the early stages of Hunter Brown, was he going to be compelled to go and give him a long-term deal? Or would he be more like, hey, I'm going to be smart here. I'd need to see more.
See, I think smart's paying early as opposed to paying late. Like, if you have the evidence of Jose Altuve, you bought out years of free agency for him. When he won the MVP, it was the biggest bargain MVP in the history of the game. You bought out free agent years in Alex Bregman, I think two of them. That turned out wonderfully. You got Yordan on a sub-$20 million per year deal. How do you look at that as a baseball man and be like, oh, yeah, that's bad business? Meanwhile, Jose Abreu is a bust. Ryan Pressly, who James Click signed to an extension, isn't living up to the final years of his contract. Christian, like, it would have been before you signed Christian Walker, so I don't even know if you can throw Christian Walker into the mix here. You re-signed Michael Brantley, who plays like a dozen games. You yourself went out and signed Rafael Montero on a three-year deal. So you have all of these transactions that you yourself have made within your organization. I don't know how a baseball man says, yeah, we can't play players early.
No, I just think that the way Hunter Brown got the start that he got off to and everything like that, I think that there's something to be said about it. If an owner wants to be shrewd about it, say, I need to see more. I don't see – Crane seems like a guy that will push back and say, I don't see what you see, and not completely trust the guy that's making the decisions, in this case, Dana Brown.
Yeah, I we don't know. We don't know, right?
Right.
I don't think that Jim Crane would be saying you cannot sign players early. I think it'd be the opposite of that. I do think that Jim Crane has given a mandate to Dana Brown to stay under the competitive balance tax. But again, that's how you do it. You sign players early. That way, you don't have to sign free agents in positions of need because you bought out some free agent years. Are we giving criticism to Dana Brown for what he said early in his tenure? I've seen him take a little bit of a beating on this. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On our brand new ESPN Houston app for Apple users, we have a contest live on the app right now. All you have to do is open the ESPN Houston app, and at the top of the app, you can enter our contest to win a pair of tickets to the Outlaw Music Festival featuring the one and only Willie Nelson. Entries are open until 7 p.m. A random entry will be selected Wednesday morning. So download or update your app right now and enter the contest to win a pair of tickets to the Outlaw Music Festival July 6th, Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion. Gonna be a good time out there in the woodlands, the woodlands, at the Outlaw Music Festival featuring Willie Nelson. They need to do it during in the app, the ESPN Houston app. It's new, it's fantastic, it's real, and it's spectacular. Should Dana Brown be criticized for not living up to his word? I'm gonna sign these young players. I'm gonna get it done. Long term extensions. There's been one. It's been Javier. And look, the injury, whatever. Like, I like the Javier contract. Did he get hurt? Yes, that stinks. But you can't predict that sort of thing. Maybe you can. Maybe you can. But
this pitcher just makes it so much more difficult because of what we've seen in terms of just what's going on right now with all the injuries and how many extra injuries the pitcher seems to be having in today's game. That doesn't seem that there's going to be any kind of quick fix or things that are going to be done to try and prevent that. So it's something that you got to be extra leery of trying to sign a pitcher to a long-term deal.
Yeah, but even if he comes back, I mean, whenever he comes back, he's still only owed $12.8 million like next year and then 27, 12.8. Like, you're not finding a pitcher of Javier's talent at 12.8. That's why I'm fine with that contract. Like, I can get Javier at $12.8 million when he signed it. He's coming off a no-hitter in the World Series. He's coming off a really good year, and I'm getting him at $12.8 million buying out two free agent years.
Yeah.
Sign me up. The injury happened. Well, that stinks, but I would make that. I would do that every single time.
You look at it too in terms of the return investment and how it can hurt you. It's a hell of a lot easier to swallow that pill for a year if he's out, or however long it takes for him to get back, and eat that number as opposed to what happened with Verlander when we're eating, 40-plus on Verlander.
I think it was 30 per year. He signed the $60 million two-year extension and pitched in one game.
One game, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, would you rather play, like, you know, younger players or a little bit less, not even a little bit, a lot less of the cost? Data on YouTube, it's weird how KC can afford Bobby Witt and the poor Astros just can't find the dollar dog night money to sign a free agent. Fair criticism. Bobby Witt signed a $289 million deal for 11 years, and this was after his second season in the bigs, which, good season. He had a really good year, seventh in MVP voting, and then signed that lucrative contract with Kansas City. Texture, I brought it up earlier and had to get out of the car on one of the earlier shows, but I feel like they signed Bregman early, did they not? They did. They bought out two of his free agent years. I feel like you should still sign Pena now and maybe for a shorter period, but have another 6 or 7 years with him. He's got to sign that. Like, he's not that far away from free agency. When Bregman signed his, I can't remember if it was after his rookie year or his second year.
Oh, I thought it was a little later than that.
I think it was after the World Series year, after they won it in 17.
Yeah, I didn't think it was quite that early, but I thought it was after his second year, a little bit after his second year. But I know that they did definitely capitalize on a multiple years at a pretty good, it was like $20 million a year to start with.
I have to look up when he signed his extension. I want to say it was after the 2017 year.
And his rookie year was 14?
16. 15? He played parts of 16. He had enough at-bats in 16 to be his rookie season. He had 217 plate appearances in 16, so that would have been his rookie year. Didn't get full service.
Yeah, because he struggled out of the gates that year. So, yeah, I mean, depending on when they did it, I do know that they got, they got him early for at least a couple of years.
Yeah, I'll have to look up when he signed it. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-377. I'll look at it during the break and find out the information.
Did they do something similar with Springer? Everybody thought it was a little too late, but they didn't try. And
no, Springer was the opposite. They tried to do with Springer what they did with Singleton. They tried to say, okay, you want to be a big leaguer, here's a 10-year contract for you to sign, and Springer didn't. Springer didn't sign it. Singleton did, got the call up to the big leagues.
I thought that they had done something as he approached it to work out $20 million a year for the last couple of years.
That was an avoiding of arbitration. That's just kind of transactional. Funny story there. I'll tell you another time. Mike Harris has been amazing in center field. Andrew Jones-like. That's high praise. But his bat isn't anywhere close. I don't watch the Braves close enough to really know how good he is defensively. Probably just people upset. But most of the Braves talk that I've heard is that they got their money, so they don't care. Interesting. Acuna's been awesome since he came back. Pena won't be a free agent until age 30. There's likely a work stoppage coming from then. I think waiting at this point is better. See, I didn't take into account the work stoppage. I think that's a valid point. Boom, Yordan is probably the best, least expensive southpaw bat in the bigs. I mean, Yordan, when right, at $19 million is insane.
But you do have to ask the question, is he ever going to stay healthy for a full season going forward?
I think it's a different question because it's a different question. Like, would you have signed Yordan at 6 years, $115 million?
No, I still think that it was a steal of a deal, but then you do have to start questioning his durability and everything that we've talked about, because it's not your traditional type injuries in a lot of ways, some of these things that he goes through. And you just wonder, like, are we just – every year is there going to be Yordan missing 30, 40 games?
Yeah, but I think that's a separate conversation.
Okay.
Like, that has nothing to do with him signing his contract in 23, unless you were asking yourself that then.
Yeah, I just think that depending on how you look on the return on investment, yeah, you're getting him at a steal of a deal. And there was no argument for me when they signed the deal. And I totally get it that what he's done so far, even with him being out, it's been worth it. You just wonder as he gets older, is it going to get worse?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a valid conversation. I just don't know how it plays into the contract extension that he signed.
Because you got him at such a cheap deal, I understand the fact that he's never going to be pushing the highest market value that you see these guys when they get to free agency, no matter what age they are. So I understand it. I just think nitpicking it a little bit in terms of just worried about the player himself because of how much time he spends injured.
Astros bought up Cam early, so he'll be more likely to sign a team-friendly deal, the opposite of the Springer situation. I think that's optimistic thinking. Jordan didn't want to test the open market and have a physical and his injury issues magnified and exposed. Maybe you're right there. Braves have six of their starting position players signed through 29. Albies, Acuna, Riley, Olson, Harris, Murphy, add Strider to that. Love the way the Braves do business. I do, too. I think it's great.
I think they're trying to get rid of Murphy, though, aren't they? They got a prospect catcher that they got that they'd like to move Murphy.
Yeah, but I still would do what they did. Like, do you want Albies, Acuna, Riley, Olson, Harrison, Murphy, and Strider all under contract or not?
I mean, I think if you hit on most of those, you win the lottery.
There's one catcher making 20-plus million. Yiner would have been 12 to 15. I don't know, Branham, you saying you knew they should have paid Pena is kind of wrong. Preseason, according to you, he was not a star. He's been in the league for 3 years, and he's 27. You don't have to be a star to extend somebody. I did say that Jeremy Pena is not a superstar going into the year. He's proven me wrong. I'll be the first one to admit that. Now, me saying they should have paid him December 3rd, 2023, at 8:36 a.m. has been documented. I have receipts on that. And you don't have to be a superstar to extend a player. Those things aren't mutually exclusive. If you're really good, you can sign an extension. If you're okay, you can sign an extension. You don't have to be a superstar to lock a guy up. How much does Branham own in Bitcoin with the shoulda, coulda talk? That's what a general manager does. Hate to break it to you. General managers aren't good because they can read the back of a baseball card. General managers are good because they can predict the future. Mm-hmm. They get the feel of a player. They know what a player is going to be. They might not know, but it's an educated guess. Educated guess, and that's what separates the great general managers from the mediocre general managers.
There's a ton of skill sets that go into it in terms of the finances and the cap and all the other things, but the main thing, too, is talent evaluation. To your point, evaluating talent from the time that you're getting ready to do a draft to when you get that talent, evaluating the fact that there's no way that you feel like in your mind this guy's not going to be a Major League Baseball player, and then trying to wrap him up.
Why not offer Pena a six-year deal now instead of 2 years from now? They're going to offer him a low-ball six-year offer anyway. They can. He's probably not going to accept it. I think you missed your opportunity at re-signing Jeremy mm-hmm. Pena. He's been just too good this year to sign a team-friendly deal. And the Astros only lock up players when it's team-friendly.
And adding Boris doesn't help.
Probably not. Unless Pena's like, I must be an Astro, which what evidence do we have of that? Astros can develop pitchers from anywhere. That's a fair point. Ocho, a must-win game for the Astros tonight because Colton Gordon pitches tomorrow. Yikes. Hey, don't sleep on Colton Gordon. Colton Gordon can shut down these Phillies.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The ball's coming through.
You prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Car wrecks of the day. 713-780-ESPN. What do you got?
I got Fernando Tatis Jr., who has filed a lawsuit against Big League Advance. They're an investment firm that provides players with upfront cash in exchange for the percentage of their future earnings. He was given $2 million when he was in the minors in exchange for 10% of his future earnings. Tatis eventually signed a 14-year, $340 million contract. He has praised them in the past and said how helpful they were to him. He's now suing them because they've got $34 million and 10% of his additional money that he might earn from future contracts.
Who is he doing business with? The Shark Tank? Mr. Wonderful?
I mean,
because I saw the parameters of that today. I read up on it. And what was the numbers, the figures?
So they gave him $2 million in the minors.
Yeah.
In exchange for 10% of of any additional money that he earns from Major League.
Shark Tank. I can just imagine Fernando Tatis Jr. stepping in front of Mark Cuban, Mr. Wonderful, whoever the other guys' names are. and saying, I'm a son of a former big leaguer. I'm going to make millions upon millions of dollars. I will sell my valuation to you, 10% of me, for $2 million. I can just see it. I think it happened.
He says they use predatory tactics to lure him. However, he's praised the agreement, saying it allowed him to hire a personal trainer, upgrade his apartment and living conditions, and eat better food leading up to his major league career.
I mean, it's worth a shot. How much money did you say was on the table here? $30 million?
The deals that he signed have already given them $34 million.
I mean, it's worth a shot.
And they get 10% of whatever else he signs.
It's worth a shot. It's worth a shot. I did see something in the article, though, where like they were unlicensed. So I wonder if that gives him a little bit of an avenue. Like, maybe he's given 10% to the attorney. but that's all I could think about whenever I read this article. I'm going to give you 10% of my future earnings for $2 million up front. I need it for inventory.
In defense.
I need it for marketing.
Big League Advance says they're not predatory because they require independent lawyers to review each agreement, with 70 to 80% of players never having to repay any of the money because they never make it to Major League.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting lawsuit. I'm sure he has the best lawyers, though.
They've already won. Even if they lose this lawsuit, they don't get any more. They gave him two. They've already made over 34.
Crazy.
It's a hell of a deal.
You have any others before I get to mine? How about the NFL? This arbitrator ruled that the NFL encouraged teams to reduce guarantees in veterans' contracts during the March 22 owners meetings. There's a big, heavy innuendo that these owners colluded to try to keep guaranteed money in the NFL down. And this also coincided with the Lamar Jackson saga, where like no one wanted to trade for Lamar Jackson because he was demanding guaranteed money. And it's like, why wouldn't you trade for Lamar Jackson? He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Turns out, probably collusion going on
dirty
in the NFL.
Dirty, those old school owners.
They should make all these contracts guaranteed. And the players should just not sign a contract unless it's guaranteed. It's pretty easy to get there. I refuse to sign that contract. I'll only play for this. Okay, I'll take a year less, but it's 3 years of straight guaranteed money. The players can flex here. They can do it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, ultimately, we've already seen that to a large part with the draft picks. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of these draft picks, especially in the early rounds, are all completely guaranteed.
Remember how it used to be, though? Like where Sam Bradford was like the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. I think he was, yeah. Alex Cora, Car Wreck of the Day nominee, not knowing the clear path to the base rule. He got ejected last night.
Same as casual?
He's a little bit of casual, Alex Cora. He was mad because he got it called against him earlier this year, but there's two very clear distinctions between the play. The one last night where his runner got thrown out, the second baseman doesn't block the bag until he has the ball, which you can do once you have the ball. Whenever it was called against the Red Sox, his infielder was blocking the base before he had the ball. Alex Cora doesn't know ball. Doesn't know. All he knows is how to cheat and steal signs. That's all he knows how to do.
Call him Eddie Guerrero.
And he's trying to... he cheats and steals. And he tries to fight Jeff Blum in the anals of the Minute Maid Park.
But it was on the bus.
Phrasing.
I think it's when they got off the bus. I think they walked into the annals of Minute Maid Park, and they almost got down. I think it was when they got off the bus.
It was over the music of a boombox.
I think Alex Cora was booming the boombox after like they lost or it was real late and people were trying to sleep. He got ticked off, that guy. And then Jay Billis, he had an article on ESPN today. 8 players I like in this NBA draft. Every player he uses projected top 10 pick. You're really going on a limb there, Jay Billis. I thought we were going to get some, like, you know, some gems, some diamonds in the rough.
He might turn out to be a bust.
He went Cooper Flagg, Trey Johnson, Con Knipple, Carter Bright, Rashear Fleming, Cedric Coward, Dylan Harper, Ace Bailey. 8 These might be the top 8 picks in the draft.
Surprised he didn't throw his other Duke guy in there and get all 3 of them in there.
That's an interesting point. Yeah. I wonder if that's the story, is that he didn't mention Malawach. The lead. The lead here is that he mentioned the top 8 picks and didn't mention Malawach, who is a dookie.
Yeah.
Jay Billis doesn't like Malawach. That's what I learned today. What do you got, Brian?
I learned that Jeremy celebrates the wrong things.
Come on. You said he was a Philly?
Yeah, I said he's a Philly.
I'm going to say he's a signer.
It's a plantation owner.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Let me isolate that on here.
We don't know what he was doing on his plantation.
Soccer matters.
We don't know what he was doing. We know what he was having other people do.
We don't know that for sure. We don't know that for sure.
Bet you can do a little research.
And I was celebrating getting the answer right. Not that that guy 100, 300 years ago was a plantation owner. I nominate also this texter. I believe chomping at the bit, not champing. No, you're wrong. The original term is champing at the bit.
100%.
Not chomping at the bit. And I know it's confusing because it feels like it should be chomping at the bit. It's not chomping at the bit. The genesis and the original slow. I don't even know why. I think it's something to do with a horse.
I don't know. I keep seeing a horse TV champs shows. At the bit. Keeps being brought up.
I think it's a horse. I think it had to do with the horses, but it's not chomping at the bit. It's been mistaken, kind of like I could care less. No, it's couldn't care less. And it's champing at the bit, not chomping at the bit. You listen to the Killer Bees and you get schooled. Ocho, he nominates us for not recognizing the greatness of Mr. Caleb John Raleigh. Shame on you. The big dumper.
The big dumper.
Jeremy, you must be back on drugs. What's wrong with that? All right, Soccer Matters coming up at 6 o'clock. Glenn Davis will have all of the matters in the world of football. Thanks to Brian, finally working today. He's blank on Brian. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Goodbye, Houston.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.